Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World for Today with Reverend Andre
Thompson. Get ready for real talk, real life issues for the next half hour.
The next voice you will hear will be no other than Reverend Andre Thompson.
Good morning. God bless you. This is yours truly, Pastor Andre Thompson. I'm coming to you live today in Fitchburg, New Jersey, and our studios right here. Amen. Listen, I wanted to share a word with you on this morning. It's been laid on my heart, praise God, and I just want to share this with you. I just want to thank God for everyone that's been praying, and I know I was in the hospital a few days ago, but I thank God for everyone that prayed, that was standing in the gap, all is well. You know, and, you know, a lot of times we have to make sure we take care of ourselves, amen. Especially you leaders, you pastors out there, you know, you have to make sure that you take care of yourselves, let me tell you. You know, we are always running around doing things for the church and people pulling us all different directions, amen. But how many of you know that we're no good if we're not right? You know, we got to exercise, we got to eat right, we got to make sure we study, we got to rest. You know, and God know how to make us rest. Amen. So I thank God for his wisdom and his knowledge on today. But listen, beloved, I want to just go before you right now and just say that God is able. Come on, look at me. If you can't see me now, I want you to just repeat after me. God is able. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, we look in the book of Joshua, amen, when it talks about, praise God, about Moses has died. God's talking to Joshua. He tells Joshua, listen, Moses is dead. He died. And I want you to take Israel into the promised land. Praise God. But I want to just backtrack this a little bit because it's very important you understand something. You know, before Moses came and helped deliver the people out of Pharaoh's hand through God, amen, they were in slavery. They was in slavery, amen. And they have been praying. Israel has been praying. They have been praying, oh Lord, when you're going to send, when you're going to send a deliverer. We're being treated, we've been mistreated, amen. They've been beating us, they've been slave labor and everything else that's been going on. They are desecrating what we believe, amen. And, you know, they were doing all sorts of things, you know, the Egyptians, amen. But here's the thing about it. After all that they've been through, 400 years of slavery, all the things they've been through, but I want you to understand, though, that they have been slaves, amen, and they've been praying to God. Isn't it something when we are in a situation or when our back's against the wall or when we're being oppressed by the oppressor, we will get to praying. We're praying to God, Lord, oh, Lord, save us, amen. But here it is that God answers the prayer, amen, by the way of Moses, praise God. And, you know, one of the things I want to say to you on today is that even after all the things that this is what really, you know, always amazed me, even in the New Testament with Jesus, but after all the different things that had taken place before they were set free from Pharaoh, amen, the rain, the blood, and the spirit of death that came by, and I mean the frogs, you name it, all the flies, and all the pestilence, everything that had taken place that happened to Pharaoh and all his people because of his heart being hardened by God. You would have thought that these people had no, that Israel, the Hebrews, had no problem in serving God and being faithful and trusting in him. But here it is, I'm going to fast forward the story. Now, they already went to the Red Sea and everything, and God is leading them and guiding them, you know, in a cloud in the daytime and at nighttime by fire, you know, and here it is, they're complaining. So God going to send them manna, but God was upset with them because they started complaining. And the thing about it, they were complaining because they started saying, oh, well, when we was in Egypt, we had meat and we had cucumber, we had onions. They started complaining. about what they used to have, where they used to be. It was as if, you know, God, yeah, you surrendered, you know, you came in and you delivered us, amen. But now look where we at. We're out here in the wilderness. And I want you to understand, beloved, that it's amazing that everybody was so focused on where they used to be and not focused on what God was trying to bring and what God was doing. You know, there was something that was disconnected, amen. And God got upset. He was mad. The Bible says that his fire burnt, you know, started burning the outskirts of the camp, and people were being killed. And the folks started crying out to Moses, Moses, Moses. And Moses prayed, and God stopped. And then God said, I'm going to give them the quail. Tell them I'm going to give them the meats. I'm going to give them the quail. They're going to have more quail than they can handle. I ain't going to give them like a month supply, a week supply, a day supply. I'm going to give them a year over year supply. So, but when they eat it, they're going to regurgitate it back up. And see, that when all those quails came, amen, and they had no one had less than 100. No one had less than 100. But when they went to eat it, God's anger raised up again, and many of them died. And see, the thing about it, here it is, God was able to give them what they needed, able to guide them, able to give them what they needed, but they were not humble. They were lustful. They were lustful because they were lusting after the things that they left. They wanted to go back into it. They'd rather go back into bondage than be free. Isn't that something? They'd rather go back into bondage than be free. They've been crying all these years, Lord, help us, save us, deliver us. Now he do it. Now you want to go back. That's how some people are. They've been in jail. They've been in prison. They've been in situations, and they pray to God, and God will work out the situation for them. Then they want to go right back out there. Bible says, will a dog go back to his vomit? Lord, have mercy. But I want you to know on today, beloved, that as I fast forward this story, amen, we go into the book of Joshua, amen, and God is talking to Joshua and saying that Moses is dead. I want you to bring the people into the promised land. And it's so amazing that they get into this promised land, amen. And see, this is something that Joshua's taking on. He was not prepared for this in a sense because he didn't know that was going to happen. Who knew what was going to happen but God, amen. But see, God's still able, praise God. And even in the midst of all that, amen, going into the promised land, I want you to understand that you can't be in a position to be complaining, amen. Because when you start to complain, when you start to, I was telling the folks earlier on the prayer line this morning, I was in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we was talking about, you know, when you see a brother in a sin or on the fault, you should go to one humbly and kindly and try to restore that one. You know, because you never know when you're going to be in that position yourself. And, you know, and it's so true because I recall a time in my spiritual life when I was going through. I was out of alignment, and I was talking to a brother friend of mine I grew up with, and he was the one that encouraged me. He said, don't you remember when you encouraged me? See, sometimes God allow you to go through some things, amen, and we be able to help someone get back and restore them, and you might find yourself in a situation where you need to be restored, huh? I want you to understand on this morning, praise God, that we are no bigger. The Bible says that because we get to the point where we think that you're above that, then you're nobody anyway. So the thing is, God is able. God is able to deliver. God is able to save you. God is able to make things clear, make things right. I was telling folks, amen, praise God, that you can't walk around with a beam in your eyes and try and take the little dust out your brother's eye, and you got a big old board up in there. How you going to take something out and you can't even see yourself? Amen. A lot of folks, they go by their own self-perception and their own understanding, but praise God, we have to have the discernment, praise God. We got to have the discernment of the Spirit. We got to understand God's timetable, praise God. Why? Because we find out that even as they were in the land, the promised land, amen, they marched around for almost, 40 years, amen. They they went in circles, but I want you to know it was for preparation, amen. That God was preparing these folks, amen, for something great. They needed to learn how to endure. They needed to learn how to fight. They needed to learn how to do a lot of different things. They had to learn how to be humble, how to be submissive, how to listen to God, how to be able to follow the rank and order, amen. There was something that God was teaching them in the midst of all that. Because of their stubbornness, it caused them to be out there for 40 years, you know, but yet God didn't let the clothes wear out. God kept them straight, you know what I mean? And the thing about it is that if they on there had been obedient, I believe that if they wasn't being so stiff-necked, amen, they could have progressed a long time ago. And that's how it is with some of us, amen. You know, God wanted to elevate you and bring you to another level in ministry. He wanted to bring you to a place where you can be effective and affect other folks, amen. But, you know, we get in the way, amen. But when we can humble ourselves and be submissive, amen. We got to be submissive to the power and the will of God, amen. We got to pray and understand that God wants you to be able to recognize his voice, recognize his timetable. See, God got a timetable. It's according to God's will, not ours. See, we want to rush God. We want to do things. And see, if we look at a situation, amen, I look at how Moses had all those folks, amen. He had millions of people, and they were all complaining. God was like, and I left a part of the story out. Moses was going to God saying, God, listen, they're all complaining to me. He said, no, they ain't complaining. They complain about me. You know, but the thing about it, here, this is what I want to say. So the thing is, God said, when he was talking to Moses, no, you know, they're not complaining to you. They're really complaining to me. Why? Because I'm the one who set this in motion. I'm the one that gave the commandments. I'm the one that said, this is what you should do. But Moses said, well, how can I handle all this stuff here? There's too many people. How can I get all this meat for all these people? I'd rather you just go ahead and kill me. That'd be a good service. But God said, no, I want you to go ahead and get some leaders and some elders, and I want you to go ahead and get them. And he got about 70 elders, amen. And God said, yeah, I'm gonna pour your anointing, that pour on you on them, that they can also carry this burden. See, sometimes we go through some situations, we try to carry everything on our own shoulders, amen. But you can't do that, praise God. And I thank God that he makes a way for us so that we don't have to be all by ourselves, but he'll put some people in place and position that will carry that same burden. Have your heart, the same heart that God has given you, amen. They have to have the heart and the spirit of the pastor, of the leader, you know. And the thing about it, Joshua, amen, he was the one that was leading people into the promised land, his people into the promised land. So what did that make him? It made him a commander. He was in charge, amen. But then he ran into another commander, the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, of the army of the Lord, amen. So we understand there's a structure. There's a brigadier general, amen. There is an order within the government of God, amen. So you might be a commander, but there's someone that's also over you, amen. And the thing about it, when we understand the structure and understand how God is working things out, then we can fall in place and walk circumspectly, amen, according to God's will. And a lot of us today that's on the phone call, I want you to know that God is able to get you through your situation. It don't matter what it looked like. See, a lot of times we start looking at things, and when you look at stuff, amen, it will dictate to you that it's impossible. You start listening to people, you will believe that, and you can't do it, amen. But I want you to understand that we don't live by sight, but we live by faith. I was doing this morning on Facebook Live, and my phone got hot, and I could not do the whole message, so I said, you know, it's okay. I'm going to cut down the phone. I got another way to get this word out, amen. I'm going to go on there. I'm going to go online right now, and that's what we're doing, praise God. I want you to know that you can't look at what you see, praise God. I was talking about the temple. Our body is the temple of God, amen. The Bible says do not defile the temple of God, because don't you know the Holy Spirit lives within there, and how is it that we go out there and we destroy our bodies, amen? Amen. We contaminate our bodies. We don't exercise. We don't eat right. We sit there and can poison our bodies with all type of poison, nicotine. We poison our body with alcohol. We all kind of things we do. We forget that the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. See, I can tell you, God, I used to smoke. I used to get high. I used to drink in my earlier days. You know, I've been there, done that. There's nothing new under the sun. Let me tell you something. A lot of things that people are doing right now, they think it's something brand new. It ain't brand new. They was back in the old days. days, in the Bible days, in the Old Testament. You look in the history, amen, the first five books of in the Bible, it talks about the law, but it's part of the history, though. And you see that there was wars going on. People were doing all kinds of things. There was slaughter going on. God, man, there was a lot going on in the Bible. There ain't nothing new today. The only thing new today is that, you know, that we have technology, we got computers, we got cell phones and stuff like that, but still, they were still communicating. They were still doing the same old thing, the same type of sins, anything. Ain't no sin that's new under the sun. But I thank God that he's able to deliver. He's able to set you free. You don't have to be in bondage no longer. You don't have to be caught up into conversations and quarrels and disputes. Why are you getting yourself all messed up and stuff like that? It had nothing to do with you. That's why I said, you know, when you got that plank in your eye, amen, and there's dust in your brother's eye, you can't even help your brother because you can't see, because your vision is cloudy. It's at a place where you need to get yourself to get an abstraction, amen. You can't see right. What you think you see is not what it really is. Why? Because God said you'll become a hypocrite because you're trying to do something and you're not even getting yourself together. You got to get yourself right first, amen. God wants you to work on you, amen. So we're not supposed to judge. See, judge and you shall not be judged. And in the measure that you judge, you shall be judged. The Bible declares, and the meat that you judge, you shall be measured unto you. And what is God saying? Jesus was telling the people that, listen, it's not your place to judge sin. It's not your place to judge folks. It's my place. But see, if you want to become a judge, then you're going to be judged by the same way you judge them. You're going to be judged in the same intensity, the same level, the same impact that you think you're going to do to someone else going to come back to you. Amen. So God said, don't be a judge, but get yourself together. Focus on being humble. Focus on following me. And one thing about it, you know, when they were getting the promised land, they didn't get the oil right away. There's a time when the momentum was really great. They were moving fast and everything was happening. Then all of a sudden, God slowed it down. God slowed it down. And see, sometimes in ministry, you know, you can see yourself moving real fast and then things will just start slowing down. So there's a reason, there's a purpose that God wants you to understand, that you got to understand it's on God's calendar, it's on God's timetable. And see, God already has spoken to Moses in the book of Exodus 23 when he told him about, you know, I can't give you all the land right away. You know, I got to give you a little at a time. If I give you too much, you know, that you'll get overtaken. Amen. So God was going to give it to them a little bit at a time. So we understand that there was a timetable, praise God. And God's timing, he was going to be able to release. You know, because they had to fight and take the land of the Hittites, the Canaanites, and all the Hittites, you know, Perizzites, and everything, you name it. But God said, I'm not going to give it to you all at one time. Amen. And so we got to move by the hand of God. We just can't move according to our own feeling, our own timetable, because if it's not in alignment with God's, then guess what? You're going ahead of God. And if you go ahead of God, guess what? God's not behind you. God's not with you. He ain't fighting for you. And so that's the same thing that happened with Achan. Achan, when they had went to war and everything, they went and stole. They wasn't even able to take the booties, the goods, but they took some and they hid it underneath their tent. Amen. And then there was time to go to war. Things were not in their favor. Things were not working out. Joshua was complex, and he had to go before God and pray. And God said, well, the reason why these things are happening is because you got sin in the camp. You got sin in the camp. And they had to go line up everybody and say, well, who done this thing? And when he came forth and said that it was I, this and that, he had his whole family murdered. His whole family was killed because of his sin. And then they even burnt the stuff that he stole right along with them. I'm trying to tell you, we serve a God that's a just God, but he's also a God of vengeance. He's a jealous God, amen. I behoove you on today that if you hear this word and it applies to your life, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you. And if you hear this word, amen, and God is talking to you and saying, you know, yes, Lord, I understand now. You got to have a discernment of God's timetable. Pray and ask God to give you a discernment of his timetable. Pray and ask God to give you understanding. Pray and ask God if you got a beam in your eye. Lord, if I have a beam in my eye, Lord, help me remove this beam out of my eye that I can see. That's like trying to drive a car, amen, and you're on a highway and someone's been spilled some paint on your windshield and you can't see through it. You're trying to drive a car, but you can't see. What you going to do? I was driving one time. It was snowing last year. This past year, it was snowing. The first time we got snow, it was like a flurry. And I was coming home from my work, from the job at night on 78. And there was a part where there was no, like, street light kind of on the highway. But everybody had their lights on. But the snow was coming so fast, and it was coming in different directions, amen, that you couldn't even see ahead of you. You couldn't even see the road. And this is how it is when that plank's in your eye. You got to be able to have some clarity. Amen. You got to have some clarity, praise God. And, you know, I thank God because, you see, even though we are going through all these different things, I want you to know that God is able. He's able because he said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to just let you perish and everything. I'm going to be there for you, amen. But I need you to understand, listen to my word. I'm going to send a messenger. I'm going to send an angel before you, amen. And my word is in him. And if you listen to him, you will live. If you don't listen to him, you're going to perish. You're going to have some issues. Why? Because you're being disobedient to God's word, amen. You're being disobedient to God's messenger. Why? Because God is the one that sent that messenger there, amen. You know, and as I was reading the word, amen, you see, in the book of Ephesians, amen, Ephesians 1. I'm in Ephesians 6 right now, but around verse number 6, it says, those who are taught the word of God should help their teachers by paying them. Don't be misled. Remember that you cannot ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. Spiritual decay. When something decay, I mean, it's rotting away. Spiritual, you're going to rot away, and then you're going to die. A spiritual death is what Paul is saying. Amen. But if you plant, watch this here. If he plants the good things of the Spirit, he will reap the everlasting life which the Holy Spirit gives him. And let us not get tired. See, in the King James it says, let us not be weary of good doing. But here in the paraphrase it says, and let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap our harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. That's why whenever we can, we should always be kind. Watch this here. This is very important. That's why whenever we can, we should always be kind to everyone. We can't just be kind to who we want to be kind to. We can't just say, well, I'm only going to be kind to this person here. I don't care about the other people. No. So be kind to everyone. And watch this here. Paul, he emphasized this very important. He said, especially to our Christian brothers. You know, when he said brother, he means brothers and sisters, right? But he's saying we should be kind to everyone. Like the people in the world, be kind to people. But we should especially be kind to our own people of the body of Christ, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, you see. And see, the thing about it, God is able to get you right. God is able to cleanse you. God is able to forgive. God is able, amen. And Paul said this, I will write these closing words in my own handwriting. And he was talking about a lot of different things that he wanted us to understand. He was talking to the church. So, I want to say, I'm just going to jump on down right about here where it says verse number 13. And even those teachers who submit to circumcision don't try to keep the other Jewish laws, but they want you to be circumcised in order that they can boast that you are their disciples, see. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the cross, my interest in all the attractive things of the world was killed long ago. And the world's interest in me is also dead. That's something I want to stop right there. See, Paul said that all these traditions and stuff that men had, and all the traditions that the Jews had, is no longer needed to be able to be saved. It's no longer needed. Amen. The circumcision is in the spirit, not in the flesh. It's not a work no longer. This is already, the works have already been done by Jesus Christ. Amen. But then he goes on to say this here. He says that my desires, here we go, my desires in the world are dead. Let me read that again. I want you to catch this here. He said, watch this here. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if I'm going to brag about something, I'm going to brag about Jesus Christ. I'm going to brag about the crucifixion. I'm going to brag about what my Lord has done for me on the cross. Because of that cross, my interest in all the attractive things of the world was killed long ago. And the world's interest in me also long dead. In other words, because of Christ dying on the cross, because I have been saved, because I have been delivered by Christ, all those things that were attractive to me in the world was killed a long time ago. Why? Because I know that the world and God are two different things. And the Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy to God. But I no longer have interest. I have no longer have stock in the world as I used to do when I was out there sinning and living that type of life. Amen. But now, praise God, my interest is in God. My interest is in Christ. My interest is in sharing the word, doing my Father's will. And the world's interest in me is also long dead. Now the world don't receive me because it didn't receive Christ. It don't receive me the way that it used to receive me when I was in the world. Because it's also dead now too, because there's something different in me. There's something going on. But God is able to keep you. We got about 3 minutes left. But God is able to keep you. Amen. Keep you from all harm. Keep you from danger. But you got to trust. You got to wait on the Lord. Amen. Listen, beloved, I want to stop here on today. And I want to thank you for tuning in. Listen, I want to pray for you real quickly. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless each and every listener on this broadcast this morning. Lord, touch their hearts, Lord. Let them know that you are able, that you are capable of doing all things. There's nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, I ask you right now, forgive those, Lord, and forgive us, Lord, if we have fallen short and fell any type of way, Lord. If there's a beam in our eyes, Lord, help us remove that beam that we can see clearly, that we can be able to be an example, not a hypocrite. Father, we ask right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will save those that need to be saved, those that need to be recommitted, Father, that they will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I repent of my evil ways. I turn. Please forgive me. I recommit my life unto you this day, this morning, Father. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that you will clean me up, renew my mind, renew my heart, give me a heart of flesh, Father. Lord, I ask you right now that you just continue to lead and guide me, that you will continue to order my footsteps according to thy word, that I may not sin against you. Lord, we thank you right now for your power. We thank you that you're able, Lord, to do all things but fail. Lord, we thank you right now that you have woken us up and given us an opportunity, Lord, to go forth, Lord, in your strength. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's of the world. We thank you on this morning, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, beloved, I want to say this. If this ministry has been a blessing unto you and this word has really been a moving and to be a blessing to the ministry, you can go to our website at www.citywidecog.org. That's www.citywidecog.org. You can email us, get on our mailing list. You can also send a love donation to that through our website. Amen. I want you to know that it goes directly to our PayPal account. You don't have nothing to worry about. Amen. Listen, I want to let you know, join me on this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. on our prayer line. Praise God. You need to be there. Lives are being changed and transformed. People are being delivered. This is yours truly, Pastor Andre Thompson. Listen, if you're in the city of Phillipsburg, New Jersey, come join us on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. at 137 Chambers Street in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. Excuse me. Our service time is at 1:30 p.m. That's 137 Chambers Street, Phillipsburg, New Jersey, Citywide Church of God. Come join our Sunday experience. You'll be glad that you did. Until we meet again, God bless you and kingdom blessings upon you and your family.